homepage at home, and I read on Google News about a man in Minnesota who really needs another profession. His name is Rafiq Abdul Mortland. Now, he had committed a whole bunch of robberies, and fortunately for him, he was caught. And the reason I say fortunately is because during this crime spree, he got the nickname of the Rolaids Banditer, Rolaids Robber it was. Now, the reason he got that nickname is while he was robbing stores, he repeatedly asked store clerks for antacid tablets. Now, apparently, he needed these antacid tablets because there was a lot of stress from a life of crime. But he can really relax now because he's doing 8 to 10 in the local prison. Now, I don't know if any of you take Rolaids or any of you take Prilosec, and I don't want a show of hands. But different people have different ways of dealing with stress. Have you ever felt absolutely overwhelmed? I don't want to show up hands for that either. Have you ever felt like walking away from your desk and just screaming about your work responsibilities? Or maybe walking away from your life and just screaming about your family responsibilities or your financial responsibilities? You know, it's been estimated that 90% of all doctor's visits can be attributed directly or indirectly to stress, the feeling of being overwhelmed. And when you think about the stress that a lot of us are carrying due to a slowing economy, due to deployments, that alone is just trouble of its own. Just a little something extra for us to worry about. Now, here's what researchers have found. Stress not only keeps us awake at night, it suppresses the body's immune system, makes us vulnerable to all kinds of diseases and illnesses. We get sick, which causes a whole lot of other health problems related, and then we miss work, and then we have an inability to fulfill other responsibilities, and that leads to more stress. And it's a downward cycle, so we circle the drain. And the ending is rarely happy. What do you do when you're feeling absolutely overwhelmed? Well, I want to suggest a simple lesson taken from Jesus and how he instructed his disciples. You know, no matter what is going on in life, you can find the answer in Scripture. Sometimes we forget that. But anyway, in his account of the feeding of the 5,000 in the Gospel of John, Jesus gives us some real helpful instructions on how to deal with the stress we live with every day. It's a story that's told several times in the Gospel, so even the most sporadic churchgoer is familiar with this story. Jesus is on a mountainside with his disciples. When he looks up, he sees the great crowd coming towards him. He says to Philip, poor Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He says that. Now, this is a situation where it would overwhelm any normal person. It's almost dinner time. You discover you have 5,000 uninvited guests. But wait, that's just the men. They're bringing their wives and their kids. Men, do not try this at home. Jesus asked Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" Now, John says that Jesus asked how they were going to feed this multitude as a test for Philip, because he already knew what it was he was going to do. Philip had no idea how he was going to feed this mob, and he says to Jesus, 8 months' wages wouldn't buy enough bread for each one of them to have a bite. Philip, you see, is having an anxiety attack. Things look very dismal for the disciples. There is no way they can feed all these people. At least that's how it looks. And then Andrew speaks up and he says, "Well, here's a boy with two small fish and 5 barley loaves, but how far will they go among so many?" And then Jesus says something brilliant, and he says, "Have the people sit down." And that's what they did. They had the people sit down. And Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted, and he did the same with the fish. And when all had enough, to eat, he said to the disciples, gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted, he says. So they gathered them and filled the 12 baskets with the leftovers, and that's the story, and you all know it. So how do you deal with overwhelming situations? Let's look at the instructions that Jesus gives us in this passage. First of all, sit down. Can't you just see Philip frantically running around like a chicken with his head cut off? What am I going to do? What am I going to do? Yelling at his wife. What shall we do? What shall we do? Jesus knew that anxiety and panic never solve any problem. That's why he taught us in Matthew 6:25. Do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. And then he continues in verse 27, who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? Boy, this is a lesson we need to learn, isn't it? So he gives instructions and he says, have the people sit down. Now, how heavy is this glass of water? I'm going to hold it over Carolyn's piano. She hopes it's not very heavy. It really doesn't matter how heavy this cup of water is. What matters is how long I hold it. If I hold it for a minute, there's no problem. If I hold it for an hour, my arm's going to be sore. If I hold it for a day, you're going to have to call the ambulance for me. But in each case, the cup of water weighs the same. It's the same weight. But the longer I hold it, the heavier it gets. That's the way it is with stress. If we carry our burdens all the time, sooner or later, the burden that becomes increasingly heavy is going to overwhelm us and we won't be able to carry on. You have to put your burden down for a while. You have to rest a while. And then you can hold it again if you have to. When we're refreshed, we can carry on with the burden. So before you return home after a day on the job, put your burden down. Don't carry it home with you. You can pick it up again tomorrow. It will still be there. Whatever burdens you're carrying now, let them down. Even if it's just for a moment. And pray, Lord, I don't know how you're going to pull this out of the dumper, but I know you will. That's what faith is. Let me leave this at the office. Let me not be cranky when I get home. Just relax. Pick up your burdens later, after you have rested if you have to. You know, life is short, and the Lord intends for all of us to enjoy it. And I think that that is one of the most awesome perks of worship. It's a time that we can all just sit still and reflect and listen to the voice of God and get our sanity back. And that is precious today in the world in which we live. Now, Jesus knew that it was important to settle the crowd down. And he said, have them sit. You know, we have trouble being focused in the world in which we live because we have so many things coming at us at one time. And there's something I learned a long time from a professor back in seminary, and he said, you know, if you look at everything, you're not going to be able to do anything. He said, look at the next thing. Sit and look at the next responsibility. What do you have to have done for tonight or tomorrow? And that lesson has served me well. If we are expending energy worrying about all the things that lie out ahead of us, you know, we will not focus on the task at hand. No wonder Jesus said later in Matthew, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Have the people sit down is what Jesus said, and that's where we have to begin. Sit down. Calm down. Focus on what is immediately before you. Focus on the next thing. Now here's the second thing Jesus tells us. He says that we should acknowledge that he has a plan. We need to acknowledge that God has a plan. I love the way the church sign puts it, if your knees are knocking, kneel on them. Dave will probably have that out on the sign next couple weeks. You should look for it. Now, John says that Jesus asked Philip how they were going to feed all these people to test Philip, because Jesus already knew what he had in mind to do. God has a plan. God always has a plan. Do you really believe that God is unaware of your need? I mean, do you really think he doesn't know what you're going through in your life? Do you believe that God has the ability to meet that need? Well, then relax. God will provide. There is great power in trusting God. Because the same God who multiplied the fishes and the loaves that day long ago can give you the resources you need to meet your obligations. Sometimes we have to go through some pretty painful situations before we see God's hand in our lives. And we have all been in those painful situations. And you know what? Sometimes we can only see God's hand in the rearview mirror. But God is always there. He is always available, and he is always working for our good. You know, an anonymous poet, he was talking about the name of God that God himself used when he was talking to Moses. Another familiar scene. Moses asks God, back in Exodus 3, what his name is. And God says, I am who I am. Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. Now this unknown poet wrote, my name is I am. If you live in the past, it will be very hard, for I am not there. My name is not I was. And if you live in the future, it will be very hard, for my name is not I will be. But if you live in the present, it is not hard, for my name is I Am. The great I Am is with us. Relax. God has a plan. Now here's the third thing. Make a beginning. Andrew came forward to say, there's this boy there, he's got two small fish and five barley loaves. Well, it wasn't much, but it was something. That would give them something to start with. Think about, where are your fishes and loaves? And have you given what little you have and what little you are to the Lord? Even Christ had to start somewhere. What are the resources that you have today that you can give to God? Take an inventory, get started, because you have something to offer and you can get started right now. Now, this is difficult, and people sometimes are very, very religious about this. I just love this. Well, I'm going to pray about this, and when God gives me a sign, that we sound so religious sometimes. You know, we can make anything sound good when we talk like that. I'm going to pray about it, and when God gives me a sign, then I'm going to start to do something about it. Okay, fine. This message is your sign. Get on with it. Worried about losing your job? What have you done today to prepare yourself for the next one if you lose your job? You know, who knows? If you get started today preparing yourself to do something in the future, you might even find a better job than the one you have now. You might even not need this one. Are you worried about your finances? Did you get around to making that budget that the financial planner told you you had to have? You know, there are so many people today who are discovering that they can live better on less because they're giving it some thought. The point is to just get started. So, you know, if God was going to give you a roadmap, he would not have told you to walk by faith. So it's time to quit analyzing the problem to death and just get to it. Get moving. Sit down, acknowledge that God has a plan, and make a beginning. Make a beginning. And finally, gather up the leftovers. Now, chances are you're going to make it through whatever problem is overwhelming you right now. The question is, what are you going to take from the experience? Christ instructed his disciples, gather the pieces that are left over, let nothing be wasted. Can't you just see some of the disciples? Don't you think they were cranking about this? Oh, you know, well, man, what do I have to do? You know, he can just make more bread. You know, why do I have to gather up all of these pieces? You know, why save the leftovers? He can do the same thing tomorrow. That's not the point. Leftovers. Leftovers are the point. Whenever you go through a difficult experience, you know, you need to learn something about how the world operates. And you need to grow stronger in your ability to handle life's difficulties. And you should learn something about God. Our experiences need to make us better, not bitter. Each experience in life needs to make us a better person. Or we've wasted it, and it was for nothing. And that happens when we learn, when we gather up the leftovers. Because one thing you are for sure going to learn is that you were right to trust God. And it's good to prepare us for the next time that we're going to be tested, because it's going to come. You know, on April 10th, 1963, there was a submarine called the Thresher, and it went too deep into the ocean, and it was crushed by the surrounding water. It imploded into such tiny bits, it's written, that almost nothing could be identified. You see, even the thick bulkheads of a submarine can't withstand the pressure of deep water when it dives. It's very special, special stuff that it does that. There are very few walls that can withstand the pressure of the deepest oceans. Even steel gives way. And unfortunately, the crew of the Thresher, with all lost, found that out. But isn't it fascinating? In the same deep waters where that submarine was crushed into nothingness, that little tiny fish swim around without a care in the world. Little tiny fish, they don't have great steel bodies, great steel, outsides to keep them from being crushed. You know why they're crushed? They have the thinnest layer of skin. They're not crushed because these little fish have an internal pressure that perfectly corresponds to the pressure from the outside. And people say there is no God. Give me a break. Anyway, God gave them what they needed to swim in those deep places. And guess what? God will give you what you need to swim in deep places. So, what do we do when we're overwhelmed? We listen to Jesus. It always works. We listen to him as he instructs us. We sit down, calm down. We acknowledge that God has a plan. And we make a beginning. We get started doing something. And after we come through the experience, we pick up the leftovers and we use the experience to prepare ourselves for the next time we're tested. You are not alone. The same God who multiplied the fishes and the loaves is with you. Remind yourself, you are in the presence of the great I Am. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father God, you know the world in which we live. And you know what we are faced with on a daily basis. And we pray that when we are in danger of being overwhelmed, and we are going down for the last time, that you would reach your hand out and grab us and remind us that you are with us, that you have a plan, and that we can trust you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Oh, taste and see how good the Lord is. Blessed is the man that trusts in him. You that truly and earnestly repent of your sins, who are in love and charity with your neighbors, and who intend from this moment forward to live a new life following the commandments of God, draw near with faith and take this sacrament for your comfort. Let's bow our heads as we pray again. Father God, you have consecrated for us a new and living way, Jesus Christ our Lord. Grant unto those of us who are gathered here this morning that we might so share this bread and this cup that our hearts and our lives might be truly yielded to the sway of your Holy Spirit. Now, as in accordance with our Lord's holy institution, we commemorate his Last Supper with his disciples and his offering of himself in the sacrifice of the cross. And we humbly ask that you would grant your Holy Spirit and that you would sanctify these creatures of bread and wine, which now we consecrate for their sacred use, that they might become for us symbols of the body that was broken and of the blood that was shed for us. And may they bring in us penitent hearts and a quickened faith. And may we receive this sacrament for our comfort through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread and he broke it. And he gave it to his disciples and he said, "Take and eat this, for this is my body that's broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me."